Okay, we're starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. It says, Hakein Shibrosha Yilan, a nest that's found at the top of a tree, but the Yilan Shel Hekdesh. It's a tree of Hekdesh. Lo Nehenin Velo Mo'alin. One may not get Hana from it, but also there is no din in Mi'ila. Shiba Asherah. If the nest was at the top of a tree of a Rabbodah Zara, of an Asherah, Yatiz Bikaneh, and you move it, you shake it with a staff. Hamakdish et Echoresh Mo'alin Bikulo. Someone who is makdish, a forest, then you're mo'el in anything that is found in the itzim, the anafim, the wood, the branches, nibiyah, the leaves, all the things that are found there in the forest belong to hekdesh. The nest also, anything that's in the forest will be included. We have a machloket here that we're familiar with from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is itmar. Vedat kochavim shenishtabra me'eleha. Avodah Zarah that somehow breaks or collapses on its own. Yochanan Amar Asura. Yochanan says it remains with the status of Avodah Zarah. Yeshalak Shamar Muteret, as if the Avodah Zarah is Batel, and therefore it's Muteret. Yochanan Amar Asura, Dolo Batla, Oved Kochavim. A non-Jew was never Mvatel the Avodah Zarah. As you know from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, a item that was Avodah Zarah, or used for Avodah Zarah, if the Oved Kochavim is Mvatel that item, it no longer has a status of Avodah Zarah. Over here, it happened by itself. So Rabbi Yochanan says there was no active beetle, and therefore it remains with the status of Avodah Zarah. Mishlag Shemar Muteret. Meimar Amar, the Oved Kochavim is going to say, he, Gufa lo matzla, lididi matzla li. It can't save itself. It's going to be able to save me. If it breaks, then the Oved Kochavim is going to have a sort of sense of yeyush from it. He's going to be an implicit beetle, because he says the Avodah Zarah can't handle itself. It's not going to take care of me anymore. And therefore there is an automatic or default of beetle, because the Oved Kochavim is going to leave it now. That's a machloket that we have between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, they bring our Mishnah as a question. That's the next piece of our Gemara as well, which is Eitvei Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. Hakein, Shibrosh Ilan, Shalakdesh, Einenin, Vein Moalin. Shibashira, Yatiz Bikaneh. My love, what's the case here? So now, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go over to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So what Rashi does over here is amends our Gemara and reads our Gemara like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, identical to the way that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is read. And therefore, he changes the girsa in a number of places. You can see here, first place that he changes the girsa is where the Aleph of the Shita Mekubetzet is. Instead of saying Ihachi over there, it says Deka Nami. And the next place where he changes it is the Aleph of the Bach, which is the Olam Aiti Mi'alma. He eliminates those words. So if you want to know where we're going to change the girsa, it's based on that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So I'm just going to read it from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, because that's what Rashi follows. And then afterwards we'll discuss how the girsa in our Gemara fits, and that's what Tosafot does, making the girsa fit here. So Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, quotes our Mishnah as a question, and says, Kasal Kadatka, Kigon, Sheshavra Mimena Itzim, Vikinta Bahen, that it broke off branches from the tree, which is over here, the equivalent of what it says over here, the Itvar Migufa. And then it built the nest with the branches of either the tree of Ekdesh or the tree of Avodah Zarah. Viktani. And it says, Yatiz Bikaneh, that you have to move it with a staff. So if that's the case, it means that you could take it, that there's no problem of getting enough from it. We require you to use a stick to move it, but nevertheless, there's no problem with taking it. Why do we require you to use a stick to move it? It's because it's Avodah Zarah. We don't want you climbing up on the tree to go get the nest. And therefore we use a staff in order to move it from there. Where it says, no. Hachab amayaskinan, what's the case here? Kagon de aiti etzime alma. The nest is built from branches that were brought from somewhere else. Vikin tabahen. And that's what they built the nest of. Dekanami. So that's where Rashi changes the gear so to match that in Avodah Zarah. It's dekanami diktani. Gabi Hekdesh, by Hekdesh in the Mishnah it says, Lo Nehenin, Velo Moalin. Iyamart Bishlama de Aiti Eitzimi Alma, if you brought the wood from somewhere else, the bird built the nest with wood from somewhere else, Hainu Diktani Gabi Hekdesh, that's how I understand by Hekdesh, Lo Nehenin, Velo Moalin. That you can't get enough from it, but also there's no Dina Mi'ila. And now over here there's a line added into the Gemara, presents a problem for us, which is, Lo Nehenin Mi Derabanan, Velo Moalin Mi Doraita. Can't get hana midrabanan, but there's no din mi'ila midoraita, which means there is a din mi'ila midrabanan. That goes against Rashi's explanation of this term. in Daf Gimel. It also goes against Tosfos' explanation of this term back on Yud Aleph. And if you sure enough, there's a little marking here in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Kiv Eger, tells you to go look at Rashi and Tosafot over here, and says, Sarachilim, because the Gemara over here explains that Lo Nenim, Lo Malin means there's still a din Ilam Yidarabanan. Whereas Rashi and Tosafot here and Miyua are explaining that Lo Malin means not even a din Darabanan in Mi'ila. Now, Daha, Lo Kiddishe. That makes sense because the branches that it built the nest with are not Kadosh. Ela Iyamar Tshishavre Tzimi Menu. If you say that it broke off the branches from it, Vikin Tabahen, and then it made the nest out of that, Amai Lo Ma'alin. Why isn't there a din of Mi'ila? Hakadishe. They're Kadosh. Where it says, Mide Iria. You don't have to explain it that way. You don't have to make that diok and show that it's a support for Rabbi Yochanan. But rather, Hocha Bigidulim Habain Lachar Mikana Skinan. Talking about growth that came after the fact. Ka Savar Ein Mi'ila Bigidulim. And we hold that there is no Mi'ila by the Gidulim that come afterwards. So that growth that happens after the time that you make it kadosh doesn't have a din in mi'ilah. Therefore, when it broke the branches off and made the nest, even from this tree itself, there's no problem of mi'ilah, and that's why it's lo nenin velo mo'alin, because these were growths that happened after the original kedusha. The case of the asherah is where it used the branches of the asherah itself. And that's why it says yatiz. Yatiz like Reish Lakish. So therefore, he doesn't have to be a diok like Rabbi Yochanan. You can explain it according to Reish Lakish. And you have a difference between Hekdashes, that Hekdash would be a case where it grew. And since it grew, they no longer have a din in Mi'ilah. And that's why when they built from the branches of Hekdash, there was no problem with taking the nest. And as far as the Asherah, he took branches from the Asherah itself. But because Nishtabru, it broke branches off of the Asherah, the Shitat Reish Lakish, that means that it's Batel. Since it's Batel, that's why you can take the nest over here, even though it was built from the branches of the Asherah tree. So that'll be explanation according to Reish Lakish. Then the Gemara continues, it says, V'Rabbi Yabalam Rabbi Yochanan, my Yatiz, Yatiz Be'afruchim. In our Gemara, we have a slightly different gear, so, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Le'olam D'Aiti Mi'alma. Rashi eliminates that gear, so. Tosafot here in Avodah Zarah says that Rashi did a good thing by eliminating that gear, so because then he can reconcile between the two Gemaras. Whereas Tosafot over here will give us an explanation for it. Rabbi Yochanan, my Yatiz, Yatiz Be'afruchim. We're not trying to take the nest itself, but rather the chicks that are in the nest. So Amalei, Rabbi Yaakov, Be'afruchim, when it comes to Afruchim, Kan V'Kan Mutarim. Both in Avodah Zarah, the Asherah, as well as Hekdesh, the Afruchim, the little chicks, are Mutarim. Bibetzim, the eggs, kan v'kan asurim, are asur in both cases. Amaravashi v'efrochim shetzuchim le'iman. If they're chicks, they cannot fly independently, that they still need their mother, ki beitzim damo. They're like beitzim. So the way Amar Rabbi Yochanan explains it is that we're not talking about the nest anymore. En ochanami, the nest is problematic. The nest is problematic in both cases, l'shitat Rabbi Yochanan. They broke branches off the Asherah, made a nest. Broke branches off Hekdesh, made a nest. In both those cases, the nest is problematic. At least, Midrabanan. So therefore, when the Mishnah says over here, there are two lines in the Mishnah, Kain Shabroshi Ilan Shalakdesh, Lo Nenin Velo Malin, according to Rashi, that refers to both the Ilan Shalakdesh, as well as the Ilan of the Asherah. In both those cases, by Hekdesh will say Lo Nenin Lo Malin, which is Midrabanan, whereas by the case of the Asherah, Dulim of Odezarak, both of them are Asurim. Because they were built from the branches itself of the Hekdesh or the branches itself of the Asherah. So this is Rabbi Yochanan the Shitato. Rashi eliminates the Girsa of Alom Daitim Alma, says that the case here is they broke the branches off the tree itself. It's not from somewhere else. The branches came from this tree itself. Therefore, the nest and the eggs are Asurim. The nest, because it's built out of the Asherah, or the nest because it's built out of Hekdesh. The Beitzim, because they're sitting in there and they need it. They need the tree to be there. Therefore, they're both Asurim. The second line of the Mishnah, which says, Sheba Asherah Yatiz Bikaneh, is referencing both Hekdesh and Asherah. And there it's talking about the chicks. You're allowed to take the chicks out with a stick. You can use the stick to get the chicks out of the nest, because the chicks do not need the nest, do not need the tree. Therefore, they're independent of it, and there's no Isur Ana'ah there. So both Hekdesh and Asherah, you'll be able to get the chicks out. Use a stick, because we don't want you climbing up on the tree to get them out, because it's hard to get the chicks out. Say, use a stick. So that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. You see the Girsa in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and he reconciles our Gemara here based on that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And you can see that in Rashi, two places that he changes the Girsa. Once is by the little bet of the Bach and Rashi says Dekanami instead of Ihochi. And later on, by the Dalit of the Bach and Rashi, you can say that he says the Lishna Achrina. The Lishna Achrina that he has is our Gemara. And that Gemara is the Olam Daiti Mi Alma. And Rashi says, Lo Shamanu. Says, I never heard of such a Girsa and it doesn't fit. And therefore Rashi changes the Girsa to match with the Girsa in Avodah Zarah. And based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, he reads our Gemara entirely. Rashi in Avodah Zarah explains why Mishnah did not bring them together as a single unit, even though the din is the same for the Asherah and the Hekdesh, because you can't use the terminology of lo ne'anin velo mo'alin by Asherah. That's a terminology that makes sense by Hekdesh. It does not make sense to place it by Asherah. Tosavot over here tells us why it is that the Lashon Isur is written by Hekdesh, and Lashon Ater is written by Avodah Zarah, or by the Asherah. Even though the din, again, is the same, according to Tosafot in the conclusion, and that is because by the Hekdesh, it has to teach us Lo Anin Velo Mo'alin, just like Rashi. The Lo Mo'alin is something specific that Hekdesh didn't want to teach us. And by the Asherah, Tosafot mentions that you would have thought it's Ma'us, and we wouldn't let you take it at all. Therefore, we wrote Yatiz Bekaneh. Even though it's Ma'us, we allow you to take it off with the Kaneh, so it's giving you a heter, but Makom that you might have thought not. And therefore, the Mishnah splits the cases between Hekdesh and Asherah, because the term Lo Mo'alim is only Shayach or relevant by Hekdesh. Rashi and Tosfot say the same thing. By Asherah, Tosfot explains why over there it brings us the Lashon Heter by the Asherah, is because you would have had a Havamina otherwise, and therefore the Lashon Heter is placed over there. On the other hand, Tosfot over here, and he does have to do some pretty big acrobatics to do this, does try to keep the Girsa intact, and explain the Gemara based on the Girsa that we have in front of us. Which is, it starts out the same way, which is, Eid Vei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Kein Shibosh Yilan Shal Gdesh, In Enim, Velo Ma'alim. Shibesh Ra Yatiz Bekaneh, My love, Dit Var Miguva. It was broken off of the tree itself, Mutar Yatiz Bekaneh. You can take it off of the Kaneh, which means that it's Mutar to get enough from it. That sounds like Reish Lakish. The branches came from the Asherah itself, and you're allowed to take it off, but you have to use a staff to do it. Where it says, Lo, Da'ikei Zimi Alma, built a nest out of branches from somewhere else. So, Ihochi, Amai Shel Hekdesh, Ein Ne'anin, Ve'ein Mo'alin. So, it says, wait a minute, if you're bringing a Zimi Alma, why is there any restriction whatsoever by Hekdesh? If the branches came from somewhere else, and they built a nest on top of the tree of Hekdesh, and they built it on top of the Asherah, so fine, by the Asherah, we make you move it with a stick. But by the Hekdesh, why is there any Easter at all? What's this principle? Lo ne'anin velo mo'alin. Why should it be mutar the gamre? So that's the Gemara's question now, if you're going to do that. Hello. Begidulin abayin lachar mikan. It was talking about growth that happened afterwards. Kasavar ein mo'alin begidulin. And the reason that they did that is because we're not mo'el begidulin. The difference between these two is whether you use the branches from the tree itself or the branches from something else. The Gemara's assumption here is that if the branches come from something else, it's obvious to how to differentiate between the branches that are existing of the tree and the nest. The nest is brought from branches that don't look like the branches of the tree. So therefore, we allow you to take it off the nest in a case where it's brought from somewhere else. That's the Gemara's question. If the branches were brought from somewhere else, why on a tree of Hekdesh can you just take the nest off? You should be able to take it out, no problem. The Gemara's answer is no, it's built from the branches of the tree itself. Why are they not mi'ilah? Because they were gudulim. They were aftergrowth. After it was Hekdesh, they grew. That growth that happens after it was Hekdesh is not a din of mi'ilah. Why lo ne'anin velo mo'alin? Because it's not going to be easy to differentiate between the branches. Using the same type of branches. It's the branches from this tree itself. So to differentiate between the branches from the tree that from the gudulim versus the branches that belong to the tree from the Hekdesh, that's going to be difficult. So over there we say lo ne'anin velo mo'alin. No din mi'ilah doraita, but at least mi'ilah derabanan there is. So the Gemara says, okay, that makes sense. Kanam mistabra, disa chadat chadayta mi'alma, if you think they came from outside, amay yatiz bikaneh, lishkale mishka. Why do you have to use a staff to knock it off? When it comes to the tree of Avodah Zarah, you should be able to just take it right off. Again, it would be easy to distinguish between the nest itself and the branches of the Asherah. Since they brought them from somewhere else, you could take it off and you'd be easy to get it off. But once it comes from the tree itself, now I understand why you have to differentiate. And even though the Gemara already proven to us that we're talking about that it came mikufa from the question by Hekdesh, because otherwise by Hekdesh we don't understand why there's a dim, lo ne'anin, lo ma'alin, now it adds on another dimension to the proof that it's mikufa because of the Asherah itself. Meaning that if it was mi'alma, why couldn't you just take it off with your hand? You wouldn't have to be yatiz bikaneh. So yatiz bikaneh proves to us also by Asherah
that it must be migufa, and that's why you have to be yatiz bekaneh. And Tosfot points out that I could have learnt it from the first hokacha, but that's from Hekdesh, and then I'd have to infer from Hekdesh the same din b'asherah. But now in the second proof, I've also brought in a proof from Asherah itself, that we must be talking about a case of gufa. And therefore, all the way until this point, the Gemara is sounding like Reish Lakish, because in the end, the Gemara ends up with a conclusion that it's coming mi gufa, and yet we are saying it's mutar. Mutar by the Asherah, because shenishtabra me'aleah. Something that was broken off by the bird to make its nest, and therefore it's mutar like Reish Lakish. By Hekdesh, it's Gidulim. Gidulim have a separate din or a special din by Hekdesh that the Gidulim are mutarim. And therefore, it's now a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Tosfot has an Is Girsa now in the continuation. We have here in our Gemara as well as in Avodah Zarah, Amar Rabbi Boa, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfot says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And then this statement over here is going to come to answer on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan. How do we explain this situation where it's not a problem? And that's where the Girsa here is, the Olam Daiti Mi'alma, that it always came from outside. The Olam Daiti Mi'alma, which is Rashi eliminates in the Girsa in Avodah Zarah as well as over here, Tosfot now says that's Rabbi Yochanan's response. No, that it doesn't, I don't have to explain that it's coming me gufa. Rather, it's coming me alma. It's coming from outside of the Asherah. And in coming from the outside of the Asherah, then how do you explain the fact that it's, first of all, you have to be a tizbikaneh by the Asherah? And number two is, why is it a sorbe akdesh? The answer is that we're not talking about the cane itself, the nest itself, but rather, my yatiz, yatiz efrochim. The yatiz over here is about the chicks that are inside, not about the nest itself. Enochanami, the nest itself is problematic. The cane, the nest itself, as well as the meitzim we're going to see in a second, are totally asurim. The only thing that's mutar is to take out the efrochim, the chicks. And anything that needs the tree itself, whether it's hekdesh or asherah, like the nest, like the eggs, will be asurim. Anything that does not need it will be mutar, and that's the chicks. Now what you're going to have to explain, and this is where Tosfos has to do with acrobatics, is why by asherah do you require yatiz bekaneh? When you take out the chicks, we only allow you to take it out with a staff or a stick. And that's because we're afraid that you're going to climb up on the asherah to take them down. Oh, if you're going to climb up on the asherah and take them down, we don't want you to do that, so use a staff to do that.
He will say the same thing by Hekdesh.
Now Tosfos is going to have to explain and do some acrobatics in order to explain why it is over here all of a sudden we say don't climb on the tree, and until this point in time the Gemara didn't mention that at all. It was never an issue about climbing on the tree. Now all of a sudden they raise the issue of climbing on the tree.
So he says, because the vade mikar the kamei yatiz hakein etzmo lek lamecha shemiyale shiachol litol hakein biyado below aliyah gabe asherah. You can take a nest off without climbing on the tree because the nest is a big piece. You're going to get the chicks which are sitting inside the nest. Then it's much harder. You can't come from underneath and then take out the chicks and knock it off. If you're talking about a nest, you can knock it off from underneath and take it off, so you don't have to climb on the tree. But if you have to go over and take out the chicks from the nest, where the nest is a surbana, you have to get the chicks out, over there, you might need to climb up on the tree. So that's why we aser it here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and even though the nest came from outside, nevertheless, it's a surbana, even though it came from somewhere else, because it's sitting on the tree itself, it's sitting on the Asherah itself, it's sitting on the Hekdesh itself, becomes a part of the tree, therefore it's Asurin. The chicks that you have to get in there, we want you to use a stick because we don't want you to climb up on the tree. Then he says, V'im tomar akati amai shel Hekdesh lo nenin, af min haken atzmo, came to my rebid, ati ma'alma. Why can't you get it? If it came from somewhere else, why can't you get hanoa from this nest? Yishlomar, the gazrina dimo ati lechlufei bekanim ha-muchubarim be'ilan. You might get mixed up with the branches itself of the tree if we let you take the nest. I'm going to say now that the gzeira is you won't be goes there for the branches that came from outside for because of the branches there. Then he came mikara my parich. Then what was our havamin in the Gemara? The havamin in the Gemara was there's a difference between branches that came from the tree itself and branches that came from somewhere else. We said if it came from the tree itself, a surin. Came from Alma, it would be mutarin, because there was a difference between them. Now all of a sudden we're changing that and making a gzeira about this? Before, when we said atemi Alma, that came from outside, we didn't understand why by Hekdesh it was asur. Because they were differentiated. And therefore it made no sense to say that they were asur. Now all of a sudden we're saying there is a reason for the gzeira. And that's because before, we said to set up the situation where we're talking about the nest itself. And then it sounded like by the Asherah, you could take a staff, knock off the nest, and take the nest. So by an Asherah, we're not worried about you getting a no from the nest. Why would you ever have to worry about it when it comes to Hekdesh? What the reason there's there to be gozer by Hekdesh? Over here, where we're saying that the nest is asur by the Asherah, we're only allowing you to take the chicks, then there's a reason by Hekdesh now to be gozer
that the nes should also be problematic, just like it's problematic by the Asherah.
And that's how he explains the difference between the transition from the beginning of the Gemara to the latter half of the Gemara. Again, it's very hard. You can see Tosfot is stretching because he has to come up with explanations in the beginning and that change in the afterwards. And you see in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Tosfot himself says that Rashi's explanation makes a lot more sense. And therefore, changing the girsa here in a Me'ilah works out a lot better if you do that to match up with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Next Mishnah. Gizbarim shalchuetzim, they bought wood for the Mikdash. Mo'alim ba'etzim, the wood itself, the boards that they bought, you're mo'al on them. Ein mo'alim lo b'shipuye, v'lo b'nibya. You're not chayav, v'shipuye is the nesoret, the sawdust that comes off when they plane the boards. V'lo b'nibya, Rashi translates over here, nibya is alin shalhem. The leaves that are on it, that they're going to remove, they're not part of Ekshek, because they bought the wood. They want the board. They don't care about the leaves or Ekshek that are on it.
As far as what the word is, whether it's nibya, noya, or nimiya, the meaning would be over here that alim shel etzim, that means the leaves, and that's what Rashi says over here. The Aruch quotes our Gemara in explaining what the word nibya means, or nibe means, and over there he says that it is a perish, perach, or poreach, something that grows on the wood, or a flower on the wood. The Rambam says the definition of nibya are actually the knots in the wood, and since it's not useful in terms of woodworking, because the knots do not plane properly and do not create strong wood, therefore the knots are not included. So whether it's knots or leaves, and the girsa again could be noya, nibya, or nimiya, any one of those, it just means items that are not for the core purpose of the purchase of the wood.
Bonim b'chol v'achar kach makdishim. They first build in the Mikdash in Chol, and then afterwards they're makdish whatever they built. My time, huh? What's the reason? Man demitnadev, the person who donates the money, ma'ot mekadesh lo. He makes the money's hekdesh. Damar tichol kedushat ma'ot abinyan. So therefore, they transfer the kedusha from the money, and they place it on the binyan. V'yayim lahon umanim b'scharam. And then they use that money to pay the umanim their wages. So Rashi and Tosafot explain over here that what they used to do is when they wanted to build, they went ahead and they bought all the materials on credit. They did not pay for them, they bought it on credit. Then, after they bought everything on credit, they have the umanim, the artisans come in, the craftsmen come in and work on it and build whatever it is that they want. Then, after the building is finished, they take the monies and they pay for everything. They say the kedusha that is on this money is now transferred onto the building that you have here. The money now becomes chulin, and the kedusha goes onto the binyan. The money is that's chulin, now they pay off the credit they got to buy the materials, and they also pay the wages of the umanim, of the craftsmen or the artisans over here. The question of why they had to do it this way is because when it comes to hekdesh, money that is hekdesh, you can transfer the kedusha from something that's tangible to something that's tangible again. What you can't do is transfer a kedusha from something that's tangible, the money, to something that's intangible, which is the work of the umanim. Pay their salaries. Their salaries are an intangible item. So there's no way to transfer the kedusha off of that onto the intangible item. So a way to solve that problem is to incorporate within the binyan. I have raw materials, and I have the work of the craftsmen. Together, if you add those together, you'll get the cost of the entire building. So what I do is I take the cost of the entire building, all the money that would cost, and transfer the kedusha to the finished product. Then I could subdivide, the money now is chulin. So I could subdivide that and break it down between the chulin aspects that I need to pay off the raw materials and the monies that will go towards the shevach, the enhancements that the craftsman brought by working with the raw materials, the increased value. So because of that, the way they did this was to transfer the kedusha from the monies onto the building, and by doing such, they made the money chulin and able to pay the salaries of the craftsmen. Otherwise, they would not be able to use the money of Hekdesh to pay the craftsmen's salaries directly. That's the way Tosafot explains it. Rashi gives a slightly different explanation because he says if you did it directly, then the seller would have a din in the Elah because Dusha wouldn't transfer right away. But it's not clear exactly what he means by that. Tosafot, on the other hand, explains what we just did over here, that it has to do with the issue of not paying salaries. Tosafot does ask that there are other places we see that the Gemara says that we do pay salaries. When it comes to the Mikdash, we pay out of the Trumat Alishka for the Sofrim and so on and so forth. So there's a difference between Trumat Alishka, which is public funds that are donated specifically to be used for public works. Over there we can use those to pay salaries. On the other hand, when it comes to this item where it's personal donations that are made with monies that are Hekdesh, there you can't have Leib Beit Din Mimatne Alehen. And therefore, we can't pay salaries with that money. And the way to pay the salaries is to incorporate them in the finished product. Meitavei, is that really true? Motar ha-ktoret. So we saw this back in the Gemara in Kretot. It's from Shkolim as well. The leftover ktoret. Remember, they made the ktoret for 365 days a year. Most years, they only needed 354 days, which is the lunar year. What do they do with the excess ktoret? Mayusimbo. They used to separate out the wages of the craftsmen. The money that you were going to pay the umanim with. Then they pay the umanim with it. And then they buy it back with the new truma. So what happened over here is they have to pay the people who worked. So when they wanted to pay them, instead of paying them the money, they separated out money that they were going to pay them with. They didn't give them the money directly, but rather they took the money and they bought with that the excess ketoret. They took ma'ot of chulin, took money that was going to go to the pay the wages of the umanim. Then they transferred the kedusha from the ketoret, the excess ketoret, onto the money. So now the ketoret is chulin. They give this ketoret that is chulin to the craftsmen as their wages. Then they go and they take the new year's treasury, because you have to buy the korbanot for the next year from the new treasury. So from the monies from the new treasury, they purchase back the ketoret. And the kedusha for the new money transfers onto the ketoret. Now the ketoret's kadosh. And the monies that they pay to the craftsmen come out of the truma chadasha. And therefore you've now transferred it from one year's budget to the next year's budget. You basically use the ketoret, which was belonged to last year's treasury. You use that to pay the wages of the umanim. And by paying their wages, then they go and buy back with the new year's budget, the new year's treasury. They buy back that ketoret to bring it into the new year, to be used for coming out for the new year. Bamai, why do they do it this way? Lichle abinyan. Why do they do it through money? They could have just transferred it onto a binyan. They could have transferred the kedusha from the ketoret onto some building that they were doing over there. Just like we said before, bonim b'chol, and then afterwards they're makdishing it. So now they had some binyan there, they wanted to, some work that was done for them, transfer the kedusha from the ketoret onto the binyan, and therefore the ketoret would be chulin. Why are you transferring the kedusha onto monies? To lo ika binyan. Where it says they didn't build anything recently, so they didn't have that option. Where it says, v'alma ota umanim ptani, that you're paying the craftsmen. What do the craftsmen do? What are you paying? You're paying, they did some work there. To like a binyan kishir ma'ot. We don't have a binyan that's big enough that'll match the value of the ketoret that you have there. Gemara says, v'amar Shmuel, hekte shave maneh, shechilolo shave pruta, mechulal. If you transfer kedusha by hekdesh, even if it's worth 100, onto something that's worth a pruta, it works. Gemara says, hanimile b'diavet. That's only if you do it b'diavet. Chatchila, we're not going to ask you to transfer kedusha in uneven values. And not even values, we're not going to make you do that. That's not going to work over here. So therefore we can't do that. Now again, Tosfot points out, we've seen this before in Kretot as well, that Shmuel's din is said, Bizman Shamikdash Kayam. Bizman Shamikdash Kayam, we don't want you doing things that cheat Hekdesh, that make Hekdesh lose out on value. Today, where there is no Mikdash, we do this all the time. That's what we do with Ma'ot Ma'aser Sheni. We transfer out large values onto small coins because it's all going to Ibud anyway. It's going to get ruined anyway. So over there, we'll use Shmuel's din today, where there's no value or no loss to Hekdesh, no loss to Ma'aser Sheni. In those cases, we use Shmuel's din today. But in time of the Mikdash, you wouldn't use Shmuel's din L'chatchila. So therefore, that's the solution. The reason they did the Ketoret through money and not through a binyan is because of this reason. What they were thinking is, in a debate, the umanim, the value of the work, and all of a sudden they came to a point where they had this ketoret, that they could have paid them with this ketoret. So what do? We transfer the ketoret onto the money, and then we give them the ketoret. Why don't you transfer that onto the binyan, and then give them the ketoret? Would have worked out better, because then you would have killed two birds with one stone. You mekadesh the binyan, and you give them the ketoret, and then you buy it back with a new treasury. The Gemara's answer is that they didn't have any building work going on. The Gemara says, you're paying craftsmen, of course you had building work. Not enough work to transfer the full value of the ketoret. We have Shmuel's din that you can do that. That's only b'diavad, l'chatchila, we're not going to do that. But Papa Amar says no. This is the reason. Ainu taima, the bonim b'chol, lo nitna Torah l'malchei asherit. The reason we build b'chol is not because of what Shmuel explained, but rather the reason is because lo nitna Torah l'malchei asherit. What's the problem? If we're makdish the raw materials, and the craftsmen are working with the raw materials, and they lean on it, they sit on it, they're going to be Moel and Hekdesh. They're getting benefit from Hekdesh. So we don't want to be Matisha too early, because then the craftsmen are going to run into problems of Me'ilah. So Amrei, Dilma Baila Mizga V'Zagalayu. He maybe needs to rest, to sit, and he'll rest on it. Ibana B'Kudsha. If you build with materials that are already Hekdesh, Ishtachat and Kamayel B'Kudsha. Turns out he's having Me'ilah by something that's Kadosh already. So Tanan, Agizbarim Shlachu Ateitzim Moalim Be'en, V'Oim Moalim Lo B'Shipuye V'Lo M'Nibiya. Vamai, moalim bahen. So why are you moel bahem? Alchanami, lavi b'chol.
Why is there any Mi'ilah whatsoever? Let them start out and build B'chol. Why don't we have the same Gzeirua, the same problem that Rav Popa raises? How do we have a case in our Mishnah here where you purchase something, it's Kodesh already, they're buying boards to use to build in the Mikdash? If we say the whole principle is that we buy B'chol in order that we don't have this problem, how can we have a case of Mi'ilah by these boards? They're buying something that's Kodesh. That goes against this principle that Rav Popa set up, that we always buy in Chulin, we always start with raw materials in Chulin. Over here, our Mishnah has a case. We're dealing with raw materials that are Kodesh. When you're looking at long-term purchases, that's where they did it b'chulin. Something they need immediately for that day, that they did buy with money of Hekdesh, and that they did make Kodesh right away, because there's very low likelihood that there will be an issue of Mi'ilah with that item, because it's been used immediately. What we're afraid of is if you're buying large quantities or long-term purchases, that it's going to sit around, or it's going to be part of a bunch of building materials that are going to get stepped on, moved around, sat on. Over there, we worry about the issue of Mi'ilah. So Rav Papa differentiates between those cases. Our Mishnah is talking about case short-term purchases. Short-term purchases are bought, and the raw materials are made Hekdesh right away. Long-term purchases, that's the case where I say, Bonim Bechol, V'achar Kach Makdishim. That's done in order to protect from there being issues of Mi'ilah. Okay, we'll stop over here with the end of the Perek.